This is a replay of the Wednesday night, September 20th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to chat with you tonight. Interrupt me. Whatever's on your mind will take precedence. 888-876-5593. 8888-Raleigh. So, we all heard about the winner of the $2 billion Powerball lottery recently. Already, the stories are pouring in about the mistakes he is making. Yeah, boy. And there's more to this story, but first we'll get to some of his mistakes. Seems he's buying up California one property at a time. The latest is a three-story, $25.5 million mansion in the Hollywood Hills near Leonardo DiCaprio and Ariana Grande and all that. Well, this is by far the first. He's bought other properties as well. One of them was... where was it? Oh, by the way, on that $25.5 million property, those in the know estimate it'll cost him anywhere between $250,000 and $1 million annually on upkeep. But earlier this month, he bought a $47 million mega mansion in Los Angeles. Yeah, I don't even want to think about what the upkeep is on that bad boy. 7 bedrooms, 11 bathrooms, an infinity pool, a koi pond, champagne room, on and it goes. And while he was at it, he bought a Porsche 911. That was $250,000 in April. He claimed his prize in February, and he was one of many who chose the cash option. So that was $1 billion in cash. After all the taxes and all that, it was roughly $628 million. But you'd think, well, there's going to be no pity party for this guy. However, as I'm reading his purchase history like a drunken sailor here, I will not to cast any aspersions on sailors or drunks for that matter, but this guy is in good company. Now, before we get to what kind of company, in addition to his questionable buying habits, obviously financial planner are two words that have not crossed his lips, we have the fact that he's being sued. Now, this suit is going to go nowhere. It's going to be a nuisance. But if it's true, it's really, really sad. And that's the Jose Rivera, who's adamant that he bought the winning ticket and it was allegedly stolen by his former landlord. He's got a new legal team apparently a bunch of high-powered lawyers who are doing this, obviously on contingency, but betting he's got a case. The reality is it would, even though they're saying they're very confident and can prove that he's the rightful owner, the lottery commission in California has already closed the case, saying nope, we gave it to Edwin and he was the rightful owner. So the deal is that they filed a civil suit against Mr. Castro, who won the lottery, and they reported it to the police. And all of this is that the case did not get off the ground. reviewing the videos, undertaking interviews and all did not satisfy anyone anywhere. But his new legal team, Mr. Rivera, is increasingly hopeful that the CCTV footage from the gas station on the day the ticket was purchased will prove that it's not doctored or tampered in any way. How exactly they'll do that, again, is probably of no value, since the California State Lottery Commission declared Castro the winner, and they're not of the mind to change their minds on that. And that was the Powerball drawing in November of 2022. And so meanwhile, Mr. Castro, the winner, has had to get his own lawyers saying he's the legitimate winner and will go the distance to prove it. So on top of all the properties and the Porsche and everything else, he's going to have legal bills. But while I was reading this, it reminds me of something that is eerily true. You know, some people say it's the curse of the lottery winner, and you hear story after story about how it would kill you. And apparently a number of people who were winners did in fact die in horrendous circumstances, and many of them did in fact go broke. To give you a number on that, 70% of people who win big lotteries declare bankruptcy. Yeah, they are broke within 7 years. And those are the ones who live to tell about it. And when I was looking at this, I thought to myself, you know, I remember back in psychology when, you know, I'd take all those courses as electives because you had to take something, that there was an interesting study on what we'll call prosperity consciousness. And there were actually many studies that went into this. And the prevailing logic at the time, hell, I don't know, psychologists probably change this every few years. But regardless, was that most of us on an unconscious or subconscious level have a prosperity consciousness, an amount of money that we think that we are, I won't say due, but that we are appropriately going to make. Now, the studies were very interesting because one of them was of all things, used car dealers. And there were a ton of them in this study. And what they discovered was that if a guy was used to making, say, $7,000 a month, and at the first of the month, his commissions on sales in the first week were $7,000. He never made a sale after that. On the other hand, a guy who was expecting to make that much money, if he sold nothing in the first 3 weeks, the fourth week he made it up. It seemed that whatever people had, and again, how they found out what that number was, I guess, was only through their income picture up to that point. Because if it's in your subconscious mind, by definition, you don't know what it is. But the theory was that that you live up to your potential, so to speak. Whatever you think that you are worth is where you will be. And why I think that's interesting with regard to the lottery is, as we say, 70% are broke within 7 years. Is that if it's true that individuals do have a somewhat of a prosperity consciousness on a subconscious or a level, then winning the lottery would go against that for certain people. And by God, on some level, they'd be back to where they felt they belonged again, you know, on a subconscious level. So I found that interesting. But even more so, the amount of Mega Millions who have met fates that I won't say are worse than death, I'll say that are death. And you had one guy who was shot twice in the chest by I think it's interesting because it's a guy who won the lottery, of all things, Abraham Shakespeare was his name, in 2009 in Florida. He won $30 million. And he won it in April. And actually, that's not true. He won it before April. But in April, he was shot. But what's interesting is he wasn't reported missing until November. So 6 months later, his landlady found him under a slab of cement. Exactly what she was doing under a slab of cement, I don't know. A Tampa woman was later found guilty in the murder and sentenced to life in prison. And apparently it's a woman who had read that he had the money and she befriended him. And by this point, he was giving away the money to pretty much anybody who asked for it. Then it was poor David Lee Edwards. He was unemployed when he won part of a $280 million lottery jackpot. He was an ex-convict, and at the time of his win, it was the third largest lottery pot in U.S. history. My, how we've eclipsed that now. He was originally from Kentucky. He got a lump sum of $27 million after taxes. You'd think, well, that's enough for a quiet life. Well, yeah, except that apparently it wasn't enough. Previously, prior to the win, he'd been convicted of robbery and served out a sentence. Well, after the lottery, he was evicted from his multi-million dollar home in Florida because he didn't pay the dues to the homeowners association. And then he wound up losing it, the rest of the money, one way or another, and ultimately ended up in a storage unit surrounded by his own feces. Then there was Jeffrey Dampier, who won $20 million in the Illinois lottery in 1996. He made it 9 years. He became a popcorn entrepreneur, running Cassie's Gourmet Popcorn in Tampa. When he was kidnapped by his wife's sister and her boyfriend, and apparently they bound his hands and shoelaces, forced him into a van. As they drove, the boyfriend of the woman, who was in fact the sister of his wife, said, "Shoot him or I'll shoot you." So she squeezed the trigger, and that was the end of Dampier. Yeah, it was on and on there. But, you know, the rest of the details don't matter. He was no longer around to contest them. Then there was a 46-year-old immigrant from India who owned three dry cleaning businesses in Chicago, and he was a modest winner by some accounts. He won $1 million in a scratch-off Illinois lottery game in 2012, and he said he was going to pay off his bills and his mortgage and make a contribution to St. Jude's. That didn't happen. He died a day after the state of Illinois cut him the check. He took the cash benefit, which in his case, after taxes, was $424,000, and Interestingly, takes the check, goes home, throws up blood. And the medical examiner first said, that's natural causes. Well, they did some further testing, and 6 months later, and the testing was, by the way, at a behest of a relative, it was determined that it was cyanide poisoning. He was killed. No one was ever charged. There was a guy, 26-year-old, who won $15 million U.S. dollars in a British jackpot. And in record time, that was in 2002, in record time, he had nothing but, after the parties, the cocaine and the hookers, nothing to, in fact, say for it. He was nicknamed the Lotto Lout and spent his fortune on a villa in Spain and meanwhile wound up in jail for a long, long time, convicted of drug possession and various altercations. And on the story goes. So I'm not saying don't win the lottery. It still sounds like a great deal to me. But when I was reading about Mr. Castro's odd purchases, and I say odd because here's a guy in Altadena who suddenly is buying properties all over L.A. He can't live with all of them at the same time, and meanwhile is getting sued by another wannabe winner. Yeah, maybe life isn't so good after all if you win the lottery. Now, I know you're like me. You're saying, just give me the chance. Yeah, I'm with you. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. We got Leah, we got Lisa, we got Ruth, we got James, and we got you. But right now, I got the Sea Crane Company. I want to talk about the Pocket Radio. It is one of the most popular pocket radios on the market for a lot of very good reasons. Like all the radios that Bob Crane has developed, the commonality is terrific reception. Yeah, AM and FM. These radios, if it's over your head, these radios will pick it up better than just about anything that you can find. Now, this is something you can put in your pocket, hence the pocket radio, or your purse, or what have you. It's very little, but it's got all the bells and whistles. It's got 5 memory buttons. It's got a digital readout. It's got a dial light and all that, and great audio for its small size. But if you listen with the included earbuds, amazing audio quality. Very light, very durable. It passed my test. You know, whatever it is, I can drop it. It's easy to hold with the rubber sides and a pocket clip, and it's ready to go anywhere. It's also inexpensive. You can order them from the Sea Crane Company. Oh, yeah, for quicker shipping, you can go to REI, BuyMart, or Amazon. But for the real deal, you go to ccradio.com, ccradio.com. Read all about the CC Pocket Radio. You will be impressed, I really do believe. If you can't go online and you're interested, talk to them on the phone. They've got the world's best customer service, 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. It's the CC Pocket Radio. I love mine. I think you will too. Check it out at ccradio.com. You tell them Raleigh sent you.
every day things change, and the world puts on a new face. Certain things we arrange, and this old world seems like a new.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Of course, those are the Marvelettes. Fran had requested that. And that's Wanda Young on lead. The Dantes in the background. And of course, Smokey Robinson wrote it. Got to number two on the R&B charts on Tamla in 1967, 13 on the pop charts. And Fran had said, play me something by the Marvelettes. I don't know. So later tonight, I'll see if I can do that. I've got several possibilities. But see, I thought you knew them all. John had a Marvelettes request as well. So we'll get to that too. All right. So let's check out Leah in Marcus Hook. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you, Raleigh. How are you tonight?
Oh, I can't complain. How about yourself?
Oh, pretty good. First of all, I wanted to tell you I sent you a song on your email.
You did.
It's a video, and I don't expect you to play it.
Okay.
Please believe that.
Okay.
I just thought you might get a kick out of it. It's a food song.
Okay, I'll look for it.
And it's making the rounds on Facebook.
Oh.
And it doesn't say from Leah, but because the little from's thing didn't pop up when I sent it. But
okay, but it was from your email. And what time did you send it? Do you know?
I sent it earlier, like about 8 o'clock, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Let's see what we can see here. Oh,
and I thought you could just listen to it on your break and just get a kick out of
it.
Well,
I don't see it here, but I'll keep looking.
Okay, and I want to tell you they did some broadcast association today. Was honoring Jerry Blavitt.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly. That was the broadcast pioneers in Philadelphia to their sellout crowd, and Jerry's long-suffering girlfriend, I understand, made a speech. I was obviously not there. I was here. So I think it'll probably be online.
Oh, okay. What is it called? The
Broadcast Pioneers. Yeah, Broadcast Pioneers. And it's broadcastpioneers.com. Hold on a minute. I'm going to look for your email. Don't go away. Stay right where you are.
Okay,
and we'll pick it up right there after the news, right here on WGN Radio. Really? Like what? And now we're totally back and all sounds fine? That, you know, I had that last week where the feed coming back when I, you know, from the return would be that way. Huh. Yeah. Well, I'll hope for the best, but if you want me to reconnect at any point, just say the word.
When I'm not playing solitaire, I take a book down from the shelf. And what with programs on the air, I keep pretty much to myself. Miss the Saturday dance, heard the crowd at the floor, couldn't bear it without you. Don't get around much anymore. Thought I'd visit the club, got as far as the door. They'd have asked me about you. don't get around much anymore. Oh, darling, I guess my mind's more at ease, but nevertheless, why stir up memories? Been invited on days, might have gone, but what for? Awfully different without you. Don't get around much anymore.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. It was Johnny D who requested that, and happy to play it. Duke Ellington co-wrote it. He did the music, and that's the Ink Spots, and it was the Ink Spots' first charting record, actually, in 1942. Got to number one for 2 weeks on Decca. Also, got to number two on the pop charts of the time, way before the Hot 100, but, you know, best-selling songs and all that kind of stuff did very well. So there's a deal, and that's one of those songs that... I think there's probably 600 versions of that you can find. The lyrics were Bob Russell, by the way, but Duke Ellington did the original music, and he recorded that in 1940. All right, so 888-876-5593. We're talking with Leah and Marcus Hook about the Jerry Blavitt luncheon. Yeah, the broadcast pioneers resumed their luncheon, so today it was in Upper Darby, and Jerry was the subject, and Larry Kane spoke, and a bunch of other people.
Yeah, and the keynote speaker was Bob somebody. I can't remember who they said.
Well, I don't know about that. I think the MC was Mike Jurek from TV 29, and then Ben Vaughn spoke. And
Ben, oh, that's yeah. Who it was.
Well, I wouldn't call him a keynote speaker, but certainly he had a show on WXPN before Jerry, and he was a listener of Jerry's from the time he was a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's how they portrayed it on the news, anyway.
Well, and that's all good. And I think, you know, some of the HYY people where Jerry had a show on Saturdays as well. So, it was a sellout crowd. And like I say, that's good because it's back to the luncheons. And they had kind of suspended those during the whole pandemic thing and came back with a bang today in Upper Darby at the Country Club.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. And
yeah.
I'm glad they're still honoring him because he deserved it.
Well, Keely, his girlfriend, has taken it upon herself to keep his memory alive forever, and he would be smiling from above. She's got a Facebook page that anybody can join, actually. I think it's Geeter After Hours. It's funny because the broadcast pioneers wrote it up, but they spelled Geeter wrong. That's all right. She spells heater wrong, but either way, it's Geeter.
How did they spell it?
They spelled it G-A-T-E-R. And, of course, originally it was the Geeter with the heater, and it was H-E-A-T-O-R, but when she trademarked it many years ago, she had the Geeter with the heater, H-E-A-T-E-R. And I remember Jerry had a few choice words and then said, ah, what the hell? And that was the end of that. So it forever became the Geeter with the heater, spelled like heater. So, yeah.
But, Geeter After Hours. I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, just go to Facebook and Geeter After Hours, and I think they were crowing about they've got 7,000 people now, and you can join. They don't limit it at all. You can say, hey, I want to be a member of this, and then you'll get whatever emails or however they do it on Facebook, whatever they send out.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to look that up. You were talking about the lottery.
Yes, and boy, it's frightening.
If I were a billionaire, there's one thing I would buy. I mean, I just saw it last night on Facebook. It's for sale in San Francisco Bay. There is an island for sale for $75 million, an uninhabited island.
Oh, so you want to be your own Alcatraz. All right, well.
Yeah, I do. I want that island.
Want that island. Well, that's good. You probably have to put in the infrastructure, but I guess if you can pay $75 million for a rock, you could do that. But the amount of lottery winners who have met their demise is startling. But I didn't mention my favorite case was actually not all that long ago, within the last 20 years, certainly. It was a woman who in 1970 won the California lottery. She won $1.3 million. She immediately went home and filed for divorce from her husband. Well, a couple of years after that, her husband discovered that she'd won the lottery, took her to court, and the judge gave him every dime. Yeah.
Not half?
Nope, every dime. Because she didn't disclose it. He said, all right, well, that's the end of your money. And apparently she was not able to successfully appeal that.
That's horrible.
Well, I don't know. Maybe telling the truth is the way to go. But the amount of people, never mind who those who were in bankruptcy and all that, but who died in mysterious ways is just truly stunning. And, you know, a lot of people will say, well, keep it a secret, except in many states they don't let you.
Like Pennsylvania.
Is that one of them?
Yep.
All right. Well, there you go.
I think they're trying to change it. But see, that's why I would get the annuity. Because you can't spend it all at once.
Well, actually, you can. See, a lot of people did. There's no shortage of people who will buy your annuities.
Yeah, I know. But still, I would get the annuity. Yeah.
Well,
I
wouldn't, of course, because the likelihood that I would live 20 years, my God, there's zero possibilities of that. But
I would make sure.
Yeah, well, and
you can get the best health care, though. You can get the best health care.
It wouldn't matter. I 20 years from now, I will be a figment of anybody's imagination who cares to imagine. No way. But regardless, when you take that annuity, like I say, you get letters every month for the rest of your life. We'll buy your annuity. You know, we'll give you cash on the dollar. There's
no shortage of
that. Yeah.
No, I'm stubborn enough. I'm stubborn enough to live through the annuity, and I'm stubborn enough not to sell it.
Well, good for you. So I can't wait to hear of your win. Now, of course, you got to buy tickets, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's why I know I'll never win the lottery. Yeah, because I don't buy tickets. You know, they don't come knocking. Oh. You know, it's not like that other thing, the Publisher's Clearinghouse or anything, you know.
Oh, yeah. I just enter that online now on my phone.
Just swell. All right. Well, let us know when the big payoff comes.
Yeah, if ever. See, they pay you, like, I don't know, it's like 5,000 a week for life or something like that.
Well, you know, an extra 5,000 a week would be lovely to have.
It would be lovely. See, that's fine with me.
Understood.
That's fine.
Yes, they can come knocking on my door.
Can't come knocking on your door saying, I want to borrow $100,000. Sorry, I don't have $100,000. Yeah. I get $5,000 a week.
Yeah, and they'll say,
I'll lend you $100.
Yeah, right. Well, that's more than I'd give them. All right, well, good deal. Thanks for calling, Leah.
Thank you, Raleigh.
Appreciate
Bye.
It. All right. So 888-876-5593. We'll get to Leah. We'll get to Ruth. We'll get to James. And there's room for you, too. And who knows? Maybe you've won the big lottery and are here to talk about it. Increasingly, people are not. All right. And maybe that'll make you feel better if you didn't. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
I did it, tang, tang, boo.
Yeah.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's for JT and Aurora, who a couple days requested the Corsairs a few days ago, and that was Jaybird Uzel on lead there, number 10 on the R&B charts and 12 on the pop charts on Tough. Yeah, an interesting little label that we've talked about in the past. So 888-876-5593. We got Lisa in Dundee. What's happening, Lisa?
Hi, Raleigh. You know, you were talking yesterday about a huge pet peeve of mine, which is people in retail that can't give the correct change, or, you know, if you give them an extra dollar and you want a five back, they look at you like, yeah. You know. And I think the downfall is calculators in math class in school. To me, that is just...
Yeah, it's
such a ridiculous idea.
It actually probably it isn't math. God knows it's arithmetic we're talking about, just basic arithmetic, and that is just so horribly taught in grade school. There are so many neat things about arithmetic that could keep kids spellbound, and teachers never really go over any of that. But the first time I ran into this was I was living in Nashville in 1974, and a guy that lived in the building sold cash registers, and he had the first cash register that told you how much change you'd get, you know, that kind of thing. Where,
mm-hmm,
and I remember looking at him and saying, well, why does anybody need that?
Yeah, right.
You know, and now we've progressed to the point that no longer is any of that relevant. You just punch the picture of the hamburger, you know.
And so many places, food places now, aren't even going to take cash anymore.
Oh, right. Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure for that reason. And, you know, just because it shows the change, it depends on what you punch in. I have argued with people before, you're giving me too much money back, you know, and it's just amazing to me.
Yeah.
But my favorite story is one I read on Facebook, and I think you'll get a kick out of this, because the shopper was at a store, and it was a self-checkout, and she was bagging her groceries, and the employee came over and said she was not bagging correctly. And the woman said, you know, the shopper said, well, you're more than welcome to bag for me. And, you know, the woman said, no, I can't do that. But I'm telling you, you're wasting our plastic bags.
Too bad.
Because you're double bagging.
That's right. And I will continue to do. And, next.
Exactly. And the shopper said, well, that's just because I don't want to carry the bags to the car and have one of the handles break.
Yeah.
And she said, well, that's because you're loading too much in one bag.
Well, then you'd have the same amount of bags, right, of course.
Well, of course. You have to put less in a bag. So the shopper said, well, all right, here's a bag that I have double bagged with two sodas in it, two liters.
Yeah.
You're telling me that I should put one in one bag and one in another. And she said, yes.
That's still two
and
bags,
the shopper
right.
said, but I'm still using two bags. No, you're not, because you're not double bagging.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they will argue with you if
it's
incredible to me.
It's frightening that, you go back to the history of public education, and I think the woman, I doubt she's still alive, but Charlotte Isserby, who wrote The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, she worked for the government. Way back in the day when public education was being discussed, the robber barons, if you were, the big industrialists, were promised, don't worry, you'll have a compliant workforce. And when you realize that's the beginning... people are not taught how to think, they're taught what to think, and the idea of logic has gone out the window completely. And that goes back to arithmetic, because, of course, arithmetic is nothing but logic. So, of course.
You know, when I had my first job in retail, I was about 16, I worked at Webull's. I'm not sure if you know that
mm-hmm.
store, but in order for me to be hired, I had to take a test on paper what change to give back, and I had to learn count change backwards,
mm-hmm.
you know, for people. And it's just something I continue to this day. Little tricks like that, you know. I always keep my bills facing the same way.
Well, you know,
it's
interesting.
That might be a little anal on my part.
Well,
but.
Well, today,
you know, that's what we had to do in the till. We had to everything had to be facing the right way. And but I remember too when my goddaughter, we were shopping at the dollar store, and I'm trying to remember what year she was in. It was like 8th grade or 9th grade, and it was flower seeds, you know, packets of flower seeds, and they were 3 for $1. And I just asked her, how much would one be? She had no idea, and she had no clue as to how to get the answer.
Oh, man.
She had no idea that it was division, but yet she's been passing her math classes.
Well, sure, sure.
Because all they're learning is what, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
She
no,
can
it's
use her calculator.
Yeah, yeah. It's horrifying. No, that part is horrifying, what they have on those tests.
How do people know when they go on to a sale and it's 30% off? How do they not know,
I know,
really quickly how much that's going to be, even if it's approximate?
I agree. I agree.
Yeah, to me, that is just such a pet peeve for me.
I'm with you. I feel that 100%. Of course, the way I keep time, you'd think I couldn't tell time. So the hour has ended, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Take care. Have a good week.
All right, you too. We'll pick it up next hour right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. Yeah, Gary S. Paxton strikes again. Skip and flip. It was I. Well, it was me, but yeah. Why worry about grammar when a hit song might be involved? Well, an almost hit song anyway. All right, so Gary Paxton, of course, Garpax Records. You'll know them for Monster Mash, and he was also the Hollywood Argyles. Pretty much all of them. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh, and Ruth is in Gurnee. Hey, Ruth, what's up?
Good evening, Mrs. James, the editor of the Raleigh program. Mm. You have some incredible statements this evening with topics and comments and just begun. Ink Spots, I've never heard it before by that group or artist in particular. My absolute favorites, bigger, better, and greater than all of RB, are the Ink Spots Don't Get Around Anymore. True love, like in The Affair to Be Remembered. She's in a wheelchair, don't get around anymore. I can't even get in a wheelchair or out of it without help. And that was a blessing, hearing that song. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anytime you hear something for the very first time, it's just like a star in the heavens. It's so incredible. So what I called for, one more thing before I go into credit cards.
Yeah.
We both, the criteria for those dames, those retailer dames, we both, Carson's, Marshall Fields, Montgomery Ward, that could be a musical. So could the Rowley James program, and you have no dumb down Americans on your program. Mm. They don't classify that in any way, shape, or form, dumb down Americans.
Right.
You're holding the fort. So now my credit card.
Yes.
This is how I started out with an enormous amount of credit card applications that came in the mail, and it was like Christmas cards, you know, pouring forth week after week, month after month, and I had been approached to buy a boat cover for a Coast Guard auxiliary member with a Coast Guard boat.
Okay.
Perched over at the Fox Lake Coast Guard Marina Station. And he went on a diet for peanut butter sandwiches for a year and bought the used Coast Guard boat from another Coast Guard auxiliary member. So I was approached to, how would you like to buy? I need a boat cover.
Mm-hmm.
So I started buying credit cards, applications for five of them, including my Kohl's, which I have such wonderful stories about Kohl's, but getting back to question on the $15 Kohl's bucks was very, very difficult, so I maintained a zero balance for most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But wonderful purchases through Kohl's when it was raining for me. So now regular Kohl's, regular application credit cards, they offer $300 or $200 if you spend $1,000 within 3 months. And I did really incredible with being able to make purchases, get the cash rewards, and I went through four of them, not counting the Kohl's, and the very last one, here's the glitch. I charged up $1,000in order to get $200 rewards. And the reason why this time was, and I have a request for a song also, if you can do it and do up. I hired or had in plans hiring from Chicago Bagpipers a bagpiper to play Come Home Bonnie Jean from Brigadoon for Sister Jean, who is going to be the guest of honor at my high school alumni reunion this weekend. So I found out that the $200, exactly the amount for the bagpiper, was not going to be available for me because I did not activate my BMO card. And in the time of 3 months, I spent $1,000 and over, but I did not spend it from the time the account was opened up.
Mm-hmm.
So $200 is not there or available on this very last one of the credit cards. Interestingly enough, I did not pay attention that you had to start spending from the time the account was opened and not the time you activated the card. What's the difference? And then they have a $2,000 also, same bank, BMO. And why couldn't I just get the $2,000 one and get the $200 from the $2,000 one? Now, mind you, a good year and a half ago, I went to the BMO in Gurnee to open up an account with a credit card because they were offering that $200. And they said I couldn't get it. But if I opened up an account, I could. And I go, well, I don't want to part with the bank that I've been using right now. So I said no and left. My wheelchair and I left with the assistance of Lake County Sheriff's Department, who said, what are you doing here crossing the street? Well, the disability bus left me off on the other side of the parking lot, and I'm going to this bank. So I left, then get an application in the mail from BMO, and I get approved, and I get the whole thing, you know. And so I'm out there on my shop till I drop. No, really not true, no pun intended, to spend this $1,000 and get that $200. So I thought I would mention to your program, with your human interest journalism degree honorary from the University of Life Experience. This credit card scenario, how it was going to be used to pay for a bagpiper for the 104-year-old Sister Jean. Do you have a doo-wop version of Come Home, Bonnie Jean?
I have no versions of Come Home, Bonnie Jean. None whatsoever. Well, but I will look for some. In the meantime, your story brings up something that's important. Always read the fine print on every one of these offers. It's really vital because you can wind up not getting what you're expecting for the damnedest reason. So read that fine print.
Yeah, common sense. You remember in Going My Way, common sense? Common sense is the thing that corporate America used in the old school.
Not
just
now.
Just like the grand dames of retailers, the ladies that they hired to be the clerks had the criteria of finishing schools. They were incredible employees, and they didn't get the job, even if it was minimum wage, unless they really represented the company.
Right.
So it's the old school of corporate America and common sense. And the fine line of print, you write, any accountant will tell you that, any lawyer will say that. It is a barometer of how to avoid a mistake. But I did good for credit cards.
You did good.
With the cashback rewards, and the best one of all was Capital One.
Okay.
For $300 reward, you only needed to spend $500. So they are the grand game of the credit cards and the banks.
All right.
As we speak,
well,
Capital One.
There
all right,
go.
So that's a shout-out for a terrific bank that did a wonderful service, and it was used incredibly, and I hope that they get a blessing, as that Ink Spot song was such a blessing for me tonight. So God bless you, and another thing was a Scotty, God bless you, came through when your new best friend, a hero, was going to help you with trivia questions. And you hired him right on the spot.
Yeah, haven't heard from him again.
And he was one of Scotty's God Bless Yous.
All right.
That's what the God Bless Yous are all about.
Well, thank you, Ruth.
All right, thanks. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. So, 888-876-5593. We'll get to TJ. We'll get to Fran. We got James on the South Side and his 4,832 stories coming up on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, 1975 on Fantasy. The Blackbirds, Donald Byrd, Walking in Rhythm. It was, I think, number 4 on the R&B charts and 6 on the pop charts. Biggest pop hit by far, though second biggest R&B hit. Yeah, I think Happy Music was bigger on the R&B charts. But fine song anyway, and Fran had requested it. And she also requested we play something by the Marvelettes she'd never heard. And I think I'm going to do that next and see if I'm right. It was hard because I think she's heard everything by the Marvelettes, but we'll see. In the meantime, TJ is in DeKalb. What's happening, TJ?
Well, hey, Raleigh, long time no talk.
Yeah, how what you have doing? You been doing? What have you been doing?
Well, I've been just doing my own thing. Just, you know, I'm 76 and I'm retired, and I'm just being cool.
Good.
I got a comment and a question about this CC Pocket Radio.
Yeah.
The comment is, what causes people to go so wild with these when they win the lottery? I mean, doesn't common sense come in? I mean, don't they? What am I trying to say? Don't they just sit down and think things out about how they're going to manage that money or anything? They just go wild with it.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's what I was saying before. There's a lot of psychological studies, and I don't think there's any total agreement. But the theory that on subconscious level, we know what we're worth, we believe what we're worth, and we're going to stay at that level no matter what it takes. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But it does seem odd to me as well that not only in terms of blowing the money, but the amount of horrible things that happens to these people really makes
right.
you wonder.
Oh, right. You're so right. Okay. I have, and the question about the CC radio.
Yeah.
The pocket radio.
Yeah.
I am very much interested in it because you were saying how good it is and you have one.
Yeah.
And, the experience I've had with pocket, especially the pocket radios with AM, is with AM and FM, really, they have a really high-pitched sound. They sound like an FM, sound like a cheap two-transistor radio, and they have the selectivity and the sensitivity of a cheap crystal-type radio. The best pocket radio I've ever had was the Zenith Royal 500.
Oh, yeah, that Zenith Royal series, you know, the 275, 265, 285, 500. The Royals were a wonderful, of course, that was AM only, but I loved those and their little Bakelite cases, yes.
Yeah, and they had little handles on them.
Oh, yes, you're right, exactly, that little metal handle, and you could kind of set it up on a side there. Yeah, you know, I always use that as my favorite example, too. I can't guarantee that the Sea Crane radio will top it, the pocket, but I can tell you that as far as selectivity, it's about as good as you're going to get on the market today. That's for damn sure.
Oh, okay. Because I want to get... And then you didn't say how much is it? Or do I have to call and find out?
No, I can tell you that. It's $69.99. And then if you get an orphan, meaning something somebody sent back, I think it's $62.99. But $69.99 you can basically expect is the standard price, and it, you know, usually ships within a day. And, you know, I mean, if you're shopping price, you could also check at Amazon, or I don't know if it's cheaper there. Probably not, actually. But anyway.
No.
You can go to ccradio.com and just look at the CC Pocket, and you'll find out all about it. Like I say, it's AM, it's FM, it's NOAA weather. It's got...
it has the weather band on it,
yes, it does, and an alert. Weather band and alert. And it's
short wave or
no
short wave or
no? There's no short wave. It's got a clock and a sleep timer, so so that's kind of neat. But no short wave at all. Just AM, FM, and weather.
Oh, how many batteries does it take?
That's a great question. I'm going to try to look because I haven't pulled mine out in a while, and I know it'll obviously work on batteries. Why am I not seeing this right here? It's not telling me. That's odd. I think it's just a couple of batteries, but let's see.
Double A's.
Yeah, I think it is. Like I say, it's been a while since I changed it because they last quite a while.
It could play a lot of playing hours.
Yeah, it would. It, exactly. I mean, enough playing hours that I don't remember the last time I changed the battery. So
wow.
You know, I mean, obviously I have changed them, but I don't. I don't remember off the top of my head. In fact, I just got some D-cells because I was finally changing the batteries on my CC Radio EP Pro. But, I'm blowing the news. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are, and we'll pick it up right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yep, it's the Marvelettes, all right. Too strong to be strung along. Holland Dozier Holland. Yeah, that's the flip side of Strange I Know. So we'll see whether Fran has heard that or not. When we get to it, which will be in moments. But TJ in DeKalb, we are talking to about the CC Pocket. And I looked it up while the news was on, and it's two AA batteries.
Oh, okay, cool. Or can it be plugged into or not?
Oh, you mean for AC? That's an interesting.
For AC, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever tried to do that because it's just not that kind of a radio.
I might not even want it for that. I just want a good pocket radio.
Yeah,
I'm going to call tomorrow and order it.
Yeah, that's pretty much all it is. I'm looking to see whether there's any AC adapter you can get. I don't think so. I think it's just that. Yeah. The earbuds come with it, and the sound on the earbuds.
Oh, that'll be.
Yeah,
that. You said the sound with the earbuds. The sound with the earbuds is awesome.
Yes, it is. Because let's face it, it's not going to be as nice a sound as those Zenith Royal series because the radio is a lot smaller than that. So the speaker is a lot smaller than that. But I think you'll like it. It's a good little radio. And the neat thing about the C-Crane is for some reason you say I'm wrong and you don't like it, well, you send it back.
Right. Okay, I got one fast thing mistake I made tonight.
Yeah.
Okay, you mentioned your number, 1-800,
888-8888-RALLY. Yeah.
I heard but it kept registering in my head, 800.
Oh, no.
So I kept dialing these 5593, then I dialed 995.
Oh, man.
But what happened was that I got this weird number saying that I could talk to real hot women for free on the phone.
Yeah, well, you can talk to real old women for free on the phone with my number. That's me. But
yeah. Well, I wouldn't mind. No, I definitely like talking to you. As a hot woman, I don't need.
But, yeah, right. That's funny. Yeah, well, it's so funny because if a guy talks dirty on the phone, it's 3 years in jail. If a woman talks dirty on the phone, it's $3.99 a minute.
It's a double standard.
To say the least.
Gee. Yeah. All right. Well, hey, you keep rocking. Thanks a lot for talking with me.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it, TJ. All right.
Okay.
So 888-876-5593-8888-RALLY. And we'll get to Fran, I promise, but I see Ray in Arlington Heights wants to talk about Cliff. So hello, Ray.
Raleigh, how are you?
All right, how about yourself?
I'm well, thank you. You're being very patient with callers tonight.
Well, and you're going to be one of them. I see. I used to have a friend, Ray, in Arlington Heights, who used to work at WWMM, I think, many years ago.
Oh, my God, 92.7 FM.
Yeah. So yeah.
That was the ultra community station. When I was in grade school on Sunday nights, they had junior great discussion book groups on talking about Tom Sawyer.
Okay,
that
yeah.
My first time ever on radio.
Oh, that's great. He also worked at YEN and Des Plaines.
107.9, yeah, I think. Yeah. Wasn't it Ed Walters?
Yes, it was. Absolutely right.
And Gary Meyer worked there under the name Matthew Meyer before he went on to Steve Dahl.
Well, there you have it.
Raleigh, we're 9 weeks away from the 60th anniversary of the Kennedy assassination.
Mm-hmm.
KLIFAM was a rock powerhouse down in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you know that.
Yeah, and Gordon McLennan was all about the news. As you know, he had that wonderful news cruiser that looked more like the Goodyear blimp that would ride up and down the Northwest Freeway and all that. Yes, of course, and the Stemmons. Yeah.
Wasn't he the old Scotsman?
Yes, absolutely, when he did the play-by-play, of course.
The recreation of Major League Baseball game.
Yeah.
Midday, Friday, November 22nd, 1963. They're in their format when they break in with the first bulletin about shots fired at the Kennedy motorcade.
Uh-huh.
On air playing was a Tommy Rowe hit, legitimate hit, not his first hit and not his last hit. What tune was playing?
Oh, you know, I've heard those tapes too, and I don't remember.
Okay.
Because they're all, by the way, all of that stuff, and I've got that on cassette as well for over the years. People have mailed those, you know, dozens of times, and I couldn't even begin to tell you.
Everybody.
All right. There you go. It would make sense.
And the only reason I stumbled across it, I did not realize that the Beatles' first arena concert in the United States, Tuesday night, February 11th, 1964, Tommy Rowe was the opening act.
Well, he had been the opening act for them in Great Britain before that. Not the opening act for him. They were the opening act for him, I should say, and many other American rock and rollers as well.
You're totally correct. In an interview, he said they opened for him and Chris Montez.
Right.
But in the middle of the tour, they had to flip the order.
Right.
Because the Beatles were crescendoing.
Well, it was interesting because I'll tell you who else was on one of those tours was, of course, Del Shannon. And Del Shannon heard the Beatles do From Me to You, and he said, I like that. I'm going to go back and record it. And Paul McCartney damn near flipped his lid and said, don't you dare. And, of course, Del Shannon came back and did record it, and From Me to You was first done in America by Del Shannon on MGTOP, not the Beatles.
Which also leads to the question, what Chicago-based DJ played the first Beatle?
Yes, and he just recently died, sadly.
Correct.
And, I can see his face right now, and that's
Italian?
The Italian, it's right, Dick Biondi.
Dick Biondi is correct.
Yeah, yeah. No, he did. And in many ways, the Beatles were both the rise and ultimate failure of VJ Records. Because, of course, they had the masters because Capitol, in their infinite lack of wisdom, forgot to rescind it when they rescinded Frank Ifield. Because that's how they got the Beatles, by signing Frank Ifield. And EMI forgot to rescind it. And so it was a loophole. And they realized early on that they could put out Introducing the Beatles. And as long as their legal bills were less than they were making, that would be good. But they were making so much that I think they didn't realize that day was going to be completely over. And of course, compared with Abner's gambling it and all that, that was another problem. But the Beatles made him very rich for a moment there.
Your recall is amazing because January, February, March of 64, American teenagers were confused because Capitol had Meet the Beatles.
Right, and VJ had Introducing.
And do you remember the cover of the VJ record had an orange tinge to it?
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
All of their hair looked a little bit red orange.
It did, and those sort of plaidish shirts. The deal was, of course, for many mainstream teens, that's the first time they heard Anna. They didn't know about Arthur Alexander. So, there were some good things on that album that brought R&B to American youth who weren't hearing R&B like they should have.
And all of a sudden, those composers were getting some royalty checks they never dreamed of.
Well, you hope so. That depends on who their publisher was. In some cases, not as much as you think. But yes, that was the idea. Like Chains, of course, yes, which was the Cookies. And certainly that money went directly to the writer and all that. But yes, absolutely. Baby, It's Even- You. Yeah, there was a lot on that album which enriched American songwriters.
Smokey Robinson, Larry Williams was Kansas City, wasn't he? Which came a speck later.
Yeah, but on that album, it was track one on the first set was I Saw Standing There, and then Misery and Anna and Chains and Boys and I Think Love Me Do, and then the other was P.S. I Love You and Baby It's You and Do You Want to Know a Secret, Taste of Honey, There's a Place and Twist and Shout, and of course,
Riley,
what?
Your recall is absolutely amazing. Well, that was further confusing. On the original Meet the Beatles Capital American issue, song one was I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Right.
Song two was I Saw Her Standing There.
Right.
On Introducing the Beatles, as you just said,
yes.
Side one, track one was I Saw Her Standing There.
Yes, absolutely, but they didn't have I Want to Hold Your Hand. You know, they did what they had, obviously. And it was interesting because, of course, the Beatles were being shopped around for 3 or 4 years before they hit, and that's why Swan had She Loves You as a single because, of course, you know, they were unsuccessful and all that. So, and then, of course, VJ's subsidiary Tolly put out a couple things. So, yeah, there was a lot going on.
Tolly, where did you watch the first Beatles on Ed Sullivan?
Sitting in my apartment in Bell Harbor, Florida.
Bell Harbor, Florida.
Yeah.
Is that by Miami?
If you know Miami Beach ends at 88th Street, then Surfside is 88th to 96th, and then Bell Harbor is 96th to Holover Inlet.
So the second Beatles TV, Ed Sullivan, was down at, was it the...
The Deauville, yes, absolutely. Amy Katz's father owned the Deauville. She had her little 13th birthday there, invited the whole 6th grade.
So you were there?
No, I wasn't, but I was aware of that because, 30 kids were thrilled to go to the Deauville to see the rehearsals.
Your knowledge is encyclopedic.
Yeah, well, everybody kind of remembers early career stuff, let's just say that.
Very, very interesting. Well, thank you for having me on.
I hope you're going to call again.
Thank you, Raleigh,
okay, thanks.
Very much.
Appreciate it. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Fran in Austin is coming up next on WGN Radio. Yeah, Paperboy, 1966. Smokey Robinson and Janie Bradford wrote that. And that was a flip side of You're the One, not one of the Marvelettes' bigger hits. But I don't know. Maybe Fran hasn't heard that. We'll find out. So, Fran, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. No, I haven't heard that one. I have heard the one before that you played.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't heard it very often, but I had heard it.
Yeah.
So I know I remembered it from somewhere because I was remembering some of the words.
Sure.
But, yeah, but both of them were great. Thanks for playing Walking in Rhythm.
Oh, sure.
And Captured by the Game, too. I love that.
Yeah. Smokey did good on that. Love the lyrics, too.
Yeah, I do, too. And my favorite lyric in Walking in Rhythm, I like that. Walking in Rhythm, Moving in Sound.
Yeah.
That's a cool line.
Yeah.
But anyway, I have some good news.
Yay!
It's good news week.
Yeah, someone's dropped a bomb somewhere, contaminating atmosphere and blackening the sky.
Right. In fact, I thought of, you know, when you took my call, I thought I was going to, it's good news week.
Yeah. That's right. Dr. Sean, a way to give the rotting dead a will to live, go on and never die. Have you heard the news? Who's won that race? All right.
Exactly. But anyway, my good news is that the best, well, I got my hearing aid situation straightened out.
Yay!
That, what they did, they're going to give me, and I have it in writing.
Hang on a minute.
They're going to give me back.
Don't go away. Fran, don't go away. I want this on the radio as well, and I think I've just blown the news, so stay right where you are.
Okay.
John wanted to hear that. He knows it's my all-time favorite Marvelettes record, Forever, 1963 on Tamla. Yeah, just terrific. All right, so 888-876-5593. We were talking to Fran about her good news. Got your hearing aids resolved. So, A, first, you got better ones that are working better now?
Yes, I got ones that I actually like. I mean, music sounds crappy on them, but you know.
Oh, sure.
But there might be some settings that can be changed because I heard that these are some of the better ones for music. But I can, they don't, they're comfortable. I can hear better. I can, you know, everything is just so much better. And so that's the first part of it, is that I actually got ones I like instead of the ones I had. And I'm going to get my $3,000 back.
Whoa.
The money that the insurance was supposed to give me back, they are, what we did was we put it, and I checked all of this first because they offered me to go to this one finance company that they use. And they basically gave me all of it back in the sense that, you know, then I make payments on it. So I'm not paying it all at once. But the good thing about it is I can pay it off. It's like a 19-month plan, but there's no penalty for early payment.
All right.
So, you know, if I can pay, you know, make bigger payments, you know, and that sort of thing. So when they pay me, when they give me the refund, I will just use that to, you know, to pay that down. And
good.
And I also got a pair of hearing aids that I actually can use.
That's wonderful.
So it worked out, you know, the best possible outcome considering how everything went down. So I take back all the nasty things I said about this hearing aid company.
Yeah, well, good. Good. That's excellent news. I'm so glad to hear it.
Yeah. So, you know, so I'm over the moon about that because I was like, how am I going to, because I had to try to give that money back to my uncle and,
yeah,
you know, all this kind of stuff. And at first I thought, well, no, I can't make the payments. But then I asked him, well, what if I pay it off early? And so I got them to give it to me in writing.
Good.
I learned.
Good. Excellent. Excellent.
I think email constitutes writing.
Yes, absolutely.
So anyway, I just...
I'm delighted.
I wanted to share that with everybody and thank everybody for their good wishes. And
yeah.
And thanks, Johnny D., for your request for me about Don't Get Around Much Anymore. And there was another one. I can't remember which one it was, but anyway.
Well, I know we have Walking the Dog coming up for him. So.
Oh, yeah. Because, yeah, that's right, because I was talking about walking with my dog.
Yeah,
but,
so we'll have that coming
anyway,
up.
Anyway, so...
All right. Funny how life turns on a dime. When things look their lowest, you know, overnight things can look better.
It's just amazing, because the last couple of years, I have to say the last couple of years have been very hard for us. Just if it's, you know, it's like that Gilda Radner thing. If it isn't one thing, it's another.
That's
either
right.
You know,
yeah. That's right. That's right. No.
And it just seemed like we couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't get a leg up. You know, it was just one thing after another since my mom died.
I've always found that, you know, In the worst of times, you find out that there are more people pulling for you than you could ever imagine, but usually they aren't the ones you thought they'd be.
No, and sometimes they're people you don't even know.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's, you know, that's the amazing thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, so...
Well, good.
You know, so I'm just going to hope that things keep... You know, because there's one little part of me that goes, okay, when's the next... It
right.
still goes, when's the next shoe going to drop?
Exactly.
Okay, things are great now, but, you know, no. Don't do that. Just enjoy now, and that things are good right now.
Well, right, and hopefully it's the start of many more to come, so we'll forget about that shoe.
Yeah, all right.
Good
yeah.
deal.
Throw that shoe out.
Well, that's a wonderful story, friend. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks, Raleigh.
All right. Good deal. Nice. All right. So good news from Fran. That is just excellent news. But yeah, I do find that when you're, you know, really down to that rock in a hard place and you just don't know how it's going to turn around, that's when you really shouldn't give up hope, because more often than not, it will in ways that you never thought it would. That's the interesting part on that. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. We got Charlotte in Illinois. We got Sherry in Naperville. James on the South Side and his stories. And hopefully you two coming up on WGN Radio.
She can't sew, walk in the dark. Just a walking bird dog. If you don't know how to do it, I'll show you how to walk the dog. Come on now, come on, come on. That's my mama for 15 cents. See the elephant jump the fence. He jumps the high, he touched the sky. Till the 4th of June.
quite contrary. Tell me, how does your garden grow? You got silver bells and you got cockleshells, pretty maids all in a row, walking bird dog, just a walking bird dog. If you don't know how to do it, show you how to walk a dog.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Rufus Thomas, of course, walking the dog. So Johnny D wanted that for Fran, and happy to play it. All right, so 888-876-5593. Charlotte is in McConnell, Illinois. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi there.
Thanks
I'd
for
like
calling.
A little information, if you could tell me. I have a Sea Crane paper catalog right in front of me.
Yeah.
I don't go on the internet, so I've got this paper catalog.
Yeah.
I ordered indoor AM antenna, a Turk brand.
Okay.
Loop antenna. I have an old Craftsman portable radio. I was wondering if you have any experience with this antenna.
Yeah, the Turk is just like the Select antenna. It's really kind of magic. You put it in front of the radio, and they should have sent you information with it. It does.
Well,
come
I don't have it yet. Just sent for it, so I haven't even seen it in person yet.
Okay. Like I say, you just set it near the AM radio, and through inductive coupling, it will be able to help your radio. But there's also a wire with twin leads. You can connect it directly to the radio if you want as well. And you will get the information, and they are they're pretty ingenious in terms of how well they work.
Good. Now, I noticed on another page, it's more expensive. It's a twin coil ferret. I was wondering if I should have got that instead, because it says this antenna will reduce 90% of nighttime fade out, and I have a problem with that with distant stations.
Well, here's the deal. With distant stations, there's no antenna that's going to completely resolve that, because why you're getting it has to do more with how signals bounce off the ionosphere layer.
Now,
The twin coil ferrite is a great antenna, but it's actually built into most of the Sea Crane radios. So I've certainly got one. But when you're talking about liking to DX at night, there's only so much that any antenna can do for you. Obviously, if the signal is not over your head in the air where you are, no antenna is going to pick it up, period. What you want is something that hopefully is going to be able to pick up the signal and at the same time be able to eliminate some of the noise associated with it. But when you're dealing with distant stations, they fade in, they fade out, and that's all about the ionosphere.
I see. So you think maybe this
I think it should help. And the other thing is, again, I'm a big believer, if it doesn't work at all, send it back quickly and you know, get your money back, because they'll do that. But I always liked it. The original inductive antenna like that was called the Select antenna. And I remember, God, many decades ago, I got one that's not on the market anymore. But I got one and I thought, oh, come on, this is just junk. And I put it in front of a radio and I played with it for a while and I was like stunned at how well it worked. I'm like, damn, this really does. And the Turk is built on that same type of inductive coupling. So,
great.
I think it should help you. Now, you know, the other thing, of course, AM is directional, so you want to move it and the radio around. Sometimes, turning it 45 degrees makes all the difference in the world.
Yes, I have that. For years, I've had that problem.
Right.
And sometimes you do it two or three times during one program.
Well, right. The other thing interesting, on a few frequencies, you move it in one direction and you're hearing one station, and you move it in another direction, you're hearing another station.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks an awful lot. I'm looking forward to this.
Well, good.
So, and I heard you talking about Sea Crane earlier with that gentleman, and
yeah.
I thought I'll give you a call and see what you thought of this. So
yeah.
I'm glad now I'm sent for this.
Let me know
I'm
what you think.
Forward.
I'll be very curious to see how you like it.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks.
A lot, and
appreciate
I sure enjoy your show.
Thanks. Great to have you listening, Charlotte.
All right.
All right.
Bye for now.
Bye. How nice. 888-876-5593. Yeah, that's the beauty of a lot of the Seek Rain radios with that twin coil ferrite built right in it, and it's nice. And, yeah, it's a great antenna, too. But, again, if you're expecting the antenna to do something that's magical, they're not magic, all right? So if the signal is not over your head to begin with, no antenna is going to pull it in. But if it is, and it's just your deficient radio that's not picking it up, man, the world is your oyster when you use the right antenna. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Sherry is in Naperville. What's happening tonight, Sherry?
Picking it up, man, the world is your
oyster. Okay, Sherry, you're listening to the radio again. We'll put Sherry on hold for a moment and have her reconvene, so to speak. And we'll talk to James on the south side with his 8 million stories. Hey, James, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
All right. What's going on?
I did notice about. I'm glad that about the lottery thing was of use.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Then it was the story of the it seemed like there's too many people who seem to think that like there was the baby who was put into a bin and then was returned back to its mother.
Right, that was a little bizarre. Now that was in China, that wasn't here, but where the woman actually wound up giving birth in the garbage area and then putting the kid in the bin and trying to cover it with tissues and stuff so it wouldn't be found. And you're glad it's a happy ending and the child's been found, but you never expect, oh, let's just give it back to that mother. I wonder how that decision went.
I imagine that somebody's probably might be cracking bricks somewhere, maybe. Considering that, especially if it's like a rare commodity, like a baby girl, they might say, "Oh, you idiot!"
I don't know. I have no idea what happened with that, but of course the lottery stories were very interesting, don't you know? But I was just trying to go over the story of, and actually it was on News Nation. I'm not sure if you sent me this link, but you might have, about the Madalena Kojari deal where the child's been missing since November of 2022.
I did send
you
that.
Well,
one.
You know, and it's like, what happened? And so here was the deal. The parents did not mention to police or anyone else that the child was missing for over 3 weeks. It was only after the school demanded that they show them the child that they filed a report that the child was missing. All right, so that was the day the child went missing, the day before Thanksgiving. It was Thanksgiving morning that mom went into a room and it looked like she was a runaway. But, you know, this is like a seventh grade girl, you know, so unlikely. Well, so the father, meanwhile, I guess it's the stepfather, actually, he's left town. Now, he's blaming the mother, saying the mother's trying to prevent me from finding the girl. But the plot thickens. Now, apparently, there's questions about whether another family member sold her into slavery or God knows what. This is a mess.
Yeah, I'm like thinking, okay, and then you wonder, there's some people who definitely do not need kids.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. But child traffickers,
yeah.
Some are saying
that
she was sold for $5 million.
And
yeah. All right. So
yeah.
A fine story it is. Hang on. Don't go away, James. Stay where you are. We're going to find out what's going on in the world at large. It will not contain the story, I do not believe, unless they found the child. All that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
Thank you.
WGN Radio. I'm Ronnie James. More Marvelettes, 1965 on Tamla, number 11 on the R&B charts. Danger, Heartbreak. Ivy Hunter and others wrote that. A fine song it is. All right, so we're talking to James about these stories, and he sends me all these wonderful links, most of which I could never get to, and some of which aren't really appropriate for us to discuss in this venue anyway, but interesting nonetheless. Now, that said, this Madalena Kojakari story, I'm probably obliterating her name, and my apologies for that. But if this interests you, News Nation, tomorrow at, today now, at 1 o'clock Eastern, which is noon Central, is having a live stream about this. So you can go online to newsnationnow.com tomorrow. And if you've got any questions about this case, you can put it in the comment story. You can there's ways to look that up. And so the title of the story is New Theories Emerge in Madalena Kojakari Case. All right, so here's the deal again. This is Western North Carolina. This is not all that far from Asheville. So this child apparently gets off the bus on the day before Thanksgiving last year. And then the next day, supposedly, mom goes to a room and she's just not there. She's run away. And 3 weeks later, nobody's been called. Authorities are not notified. Nothing like this. The school says, all right, show us the kid. And at that point, they make a police report. Well, since then, both the mother and ostensibly the father, I'm not 100% sure that this is father or stepfather, but regardless, they're arrested. He has made bail and he is out. He was released on August 18th. She is in jail with a bond set at $250,000. And so he got out. He had a reduced bail of $25,000. He posted it. All right. So what do we know? And that's where it gets weird. The father is interviewed, and he comes up with his story first, saying that the mother took the child to hide her from me so that I couldn't see her. But the child's life is in danger. This is the best part. Because I named her as a beneficiary on my 401k. Well, yeah, I don't probably have to define that at all in terms of what's wrong with that logic. But the idea that that whatever sum, which apparently is not significant, is in a 401k that assigns to her, no, doesn't work. Now, according to some folks, they've seen her. And unfortunately, all of those sightings early December last year turned out to be unfounded. So it doesn't look like they have seen her. And what we do know is that apparently Diana, that's the mother, all right, of the child, was in extensive conversations with a male cousin about smuggling her and Madalena away from Palmtier, either the father or stepfather. So that gives a certain amount of credence to the idea of what the father's saying, that she's just being hidden from me. But apparently, she's nowhere to be found. Mom was found. Mom's in jail. She's nowhere to be found. So all of the sightings turn out to so far have meant nothing. Now, there are affidavits about recorded jail telephone calls, one between the father / stepfather, whatever he is, and his brother, saying that Diana, the mother, had a lot of cash with her and he didn't know where it came from. And then Diana and her mother were discussing a bag of money, withdrawing cash, and a theory that the father / stepfather gave Madalena away for money. So she's pointing her finger, saying, it's him, he sold her. And apparently the grandmother, Diana's mother, is saying, my children were caught up by child traffickers. My granddaughter is alive. She was sold along with Diana for $5 million. Well, Diana, of course, if she was sold, apparently there was a return. She's in jail. Now the police are not inclined to give details, though I wish they'd at least give somewhat of a map, you know, maybe a Venn diagram, something. So they're pleading not guilty. And so Diana sits in jail, and the stepfather is out on bail, and the child is nowhere to be found. Did I miss anything, James?
No. Nope, you didn't. You covered all the bases, and it's a sad tale And really, I'm like thinking, I almost wanted to ask, on what planet did you think that this was all right?
Well, I say, I don't know. And that's the thing. I read this three times, and I'm not 100% sure. You know, obviously, all I know is that the child is missing and that mom is in jail and dad or stepdad is out on bail. Now, apparently, they're only in jail for failing to report it for 3 weeks. They're not yet arresting them for doing anything to the child.
Although, there was a story that I sent about somebody where a child, they're fairly certain the child is dead, and they convicted the person responsible. I think this person is either in the jail for life, I think, but he's got a sub-minimum of, I think, 40, 50
right.
years, something like
but
that.
But that's not related to this child.
No.
That we know of.
And I don't think it's in the same state, unfortunately. If it were, we could maybe make the point that maybe, if we just hold this over you, that, okay, we're going to basically throw the book at you.
I don't know. Well, now
maybe somebody would crack.
Well, so far, nobody, but I'll be curious to know what this story is. Then we have the 10-year-old boy found in trash at Illinois home, had been there since December, and autopsy results show he died of gunshot wound. This is a 10-year-old before he was discovered. So needless to say, mom is in a heap of trouble here. But throwing the child in a garbage dump?
Yeah, kimchi.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So this is Rock Island, Illinois, and so not Chicago area, to say the least. We're talking the Quad Cities, but found a 10-year-old Zion Staples in a trash can near the garage in July. But all right, now here's the next thing. Who doesn't empty their trash between December and July?
I'd be afraid to be at that place.
Well, and so, but here's the next thing. Maybe they do empty their trash, and maybe this child was just dumped in it in July. Where has the kid's body been since December?
Yes. I mean, let's put it this way. Down there, it gets a little warmer, a little faster than up in Chicago.
I don't know.
And I'm like thinking, let's put it this way. The smell would be I hate to use Nat King Cole's wording on this, unforgettable.
Well, somebody, a neighbor who had disposed of a raccoon said the same thing, said, I know how long the raccoon smelled. But you see, the thing is, if they just put the boy's body in 6 months later, he was probably done smelling. Now, what's interesting is mom is a creative sort. She's claiming she had no son at all. The child never existed. The birth certificate is a fake.
Okay, all you gotta do is do an examination of her and say that you did give birth at some point.
Well, you know, so there you have it. As usual, it is always a group of wonderful stories. So what can I tell you?
There is also the thing. I'd also sent you something about where the Social Security grabbing back overpayment.
No, I actually saw that, and that is that's a real problem. And we're talking in many cases not Social Security for retirement, but say SSI benefits or even SSDI. But yes, if you've been overpaid all these years and you've been spending the money, if the Social Security office finds out about it, they're going to demand it back. And unfortunately, these are the very people who no longer have it. So it is it's going to be hell.
Yeah, and okay. Unfortunately, this Lefty Frizzell would probably say, "If you have the money, I got the time. But if you no longer have the money, I no longer have the time.
Well, what's going to happen, of course, is that these individuals' future benefits are going to be reduced for probably the rest of their natural lives while the state claws it back. So, yeah, if you suddenly gotten a gift from the government, don't think, just like people who, you know, go to the bank and find out there's been an error and they suddenly have $3 million in their account. No, you cannot spend that money. Don't even think about it.
Yeah, in fact, like the guy who, at least this guy was smart when he realized, hey, I don't have a bank account.
Well, with Wells Fargo, right. Now, that was only a $12 balance, but yes, and that story is not a mistake. That story is a horror. It's a form of identity theft, and I love the way Wells Fargo, yeah, not us. Well, actually, yeah, it probably is, but hopefully so.
In fact, let me give you a little, got a letter for deceit about deceased relative. It said it's from Wells Fargo. I knew they never had a bank account with Wells Fargo.
Right.
It said, "We're sorry, we cannot offer you a checking account with us."
Yeah. Well, and there it is.
So I'm keeping that letter because I know there's something fishy
about. Yes, you betcha. You absolutely betcha. All right, good deal. Well, as usual, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay, right. you take care, okay?
All right, you too, thanks.
Okay. Oh, you sound a little bit better, because I know the other day
Yeah, that was bad. Well, starting to come back to life here slowly, I hope. But thanks, I appreciate it. All right,
okay, even if you got to use some Mexican Coca-Cola to help you along the way, too.
That's a given.
Yes. I did one time try the Mexican Coca-Cola.
Yeah, well,
let me tell you, I think it's closer to the formula, the original guy did.
Absolutely right.
Kick.
But it does. The key, though, is you got to get it to almost freezing just right before those ice crystals form like it used to be in the old Coke machines back in the day. That's nirvana. All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Right, okay. So, and John is sounding better. I'm
good.
Glad of that, too.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I was going to suggest, I almost thought about a tribute song for Johnny D, and then I said, no, if I say either Crazy by Patsy Cline or she's Got You, and I said, no, She's Got You sounds more like, it will sound more like a dirge.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so on that note, we'll try to see if Sherry's connected with the phone instead of her radio in moments, and there's room if you want to be the waning caller tonight. Of course, we've got tomorrow night, too, 3 hours right here on WGN Radio.
In the eyes of the world, he's a loser.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. This is Marlena Shaw, 1968 on Cadet. She turns 81 Friday, born in New Rochelle, but reps from Chess Records, saw her singing at the Playboy Club in Chicago, and next thing you know, she cut a couple of albums on Cadet. One of them had California Soul and Looking Through the Eyes of Love and much more as well. But one of my favorite versions of that. So tomorrow night we'll have to play some California Soul too, I do think. All right, so I've got 2 minutes. And now if Sherry and her radio are together here, and we'll see if she's ready to talk to us. So are you there, Sherry?
I am here.
All right. So what's up? The 2 minutes are yours.
Okay. So I wanted to mention the guy that talked about JFK and the assassination in Dallas, that I was 1 year and 1 day old, and I was still learning to walk, holding on to tables and the console TV, which I don't know, it was 2.5 feet tall or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I vividly remember the assassination.
Wow.
And, oh, I am not kidding, and all the psychologists can go to hell about memory. But because I had a traumatic childhood. At any rate.
You got 1 minute.
And people would say, oh, what happened to her pink hat, which I think... I can't remember what it's called, something with a P. Mm. Not a Pillsbury hat, but anyway, and I remember it going off the back of the...
right, of the Lincoln, yeah.
Of the, yeah, the car to the left side or passenger side of the car when she went to Pillsbury hat? No. Anyway... When she was
they were pillbox hats, but be that as they may, you've run out of time. So 2 minutes means 2 minutes. Call earlier and don't be listening to the radio next time I go to you.
I did call earlier.
No, I know, but I went to you and you were listening to the radio. That doesn't work. You got to be ready to talk on the phone. So, all right.
Okay.
We'll talk to you later. So, 888-876-5593. Write it down and call it 21 hours from now because we'll reconvene right then. JT in Aurora wants Gary U.S. Bonds' Dear Lady Twist. I'll play it for you tomorrow night and whatever you want to hear, too. So, until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air. We thank John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. We'll do it all again in 21 hours on WGN Radio.